Well, if you have your Bible, please do turn to Matthew chapter 5. We continue this series, which we really just have started, on the Sermon on the Mount. And today we're looking at verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God," and hence the choosing of the hymns that pick up on that particular theme. Do you want to know what a Christian is like? Well, read the Sermon on the Mount. Do you want to know what a Christian is like? Read these early verses of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 to 12. And again, as we have been saying, how different this thought is to the popular thought on the street. What's a Christian? Well, a Christian is someone who adheres to some creed. A Christian is someone who goes to a church on a Sunday. A Christian is someone who dresses up on a Sunday morning. A Christian is someone who doesn't do this or does do that. Well, a Christian is someone whom we've been learning from these Beatitudes, is someone who is poor in spirit, someone who recognizes their spiritual poverty before God. A Christian is someone who mourns, not just maybe for someone who has passed from this world, but at a deeper level, they mourn over their sin. They realize, unlike some of the children, who actually, I'm not sure whether they were being serious or not, thinking that they didn't actually do anything wrong last week. But the truth is, every single one of us has done something wrong last week, and more than one thing, because we are all sinners at heart. And being a Christian is coming to mourn over that, and to grieve over that, and to take that very, very seriously. You see, a Christian is someone who is meek and humble, not proud and arrogant and lofty, but someone who has been brought low by the grace of God, and who comes to hunger after God, who comes to hunger after the righteousness of God. Oh, for more of that, folks. And a Christian is someone who shows mercy. We saw that last week. Why? Because they have been shown mercy, and they will be shown mercy. And the merciless in this world are people who know nothing whatsoever of the grace of God and the mercy of God. And this morning, blessed are the pure in heart. Pure in heart. What? I just want to ask three very simple little questions this morning, and you can pull up that first question. Pure in heart, what does that actually mean? Well, as is so often the case with much of this in the Sermon on the Mount, there is an Old Testament background to this. I read this morning already from Psalm 24, "Who may ascend the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart." And so Matthew is thinking about that. But he's also, I believe, thinking about another really important passage in the Old Testament that speaks about the heart. It's Ezekiel chapter 36. Let me remind you what it says in Ezekiel 36 and verse 25. It says, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your impurities and from all of your idols. I will give to you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." And so blessed are the pure in heart. And this purity of heart is not just about being cleansed in a moral sense, but it's also about a commitment of the heart to the Lord. So essentially what the Bible teaches is that the impure heart is not only unclean, but it's a divided heart. It's an undecided heart. And in contrast to that, the pure heart is not only clean, but it's, and this is really what the word, the whole sense of the word here and the sense of the phrase, the pure heart is not only a clean heart, but it's an undivided heart. Let me use another phrase. It's a single-minded heart. There's a sincerity. There's a purity of thought and motive not mixed by other things. That's essentially the idea that is behind blessed are the pure in heart. It's that idea of not being mixed up with a whole lot of other stuff, but first and foremost, living for God. It takes us to the whole world of, if you like, the extracting of minerals from the earth. And if you were to be taken to a place, some part of the world, where they had extracted gold, and where they had done all that they do to it, and they said, here is pure gold, what do they actually mean? They mean that it's pure from any other impurities. It's pure. It's not mixed up with other stuff. And here, folks, is the picture of the Christian. The Christian is a man and a woman who is focused on one thing over and above every other thing. One thing. And what is that one thing? That one thing is God. That one thing is Christ. That one thing is the kingdom of God. They are single-minded in their heart desire to glorify God. That's why our Presbyterian forefathers put right at the very beginning of the catechism, what is man's chief end? Man's chief end is to glorify God. That is the one thing. That is the one thing over and above everything that we must do. Do you see that? And how that contrasts even with sometimes what is taken for Christianity. Oh, I'll throw in a bit of God here on a Sunday morning. I'll make an appearance and keep the show up. That's not Christianity at all. There's no single-mindedness there. And Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And you say to me, and I'll maybe come back to this, well, what's the incentive? Why should I do that? Well, do you want to see God? Do you want to see God? Do you want to be with God? Well, then you better take this, what Jesus is saying, seriously. Pure in heart, what does it actually mean? But let me move on to a second question. How? Blessed are the pure in heart. Because again, somebody says, but that's not really practical. That's impossible. That's not really attainable, what you're saying to me this morning, preacher. Yes, it's a good idea. Yes, it's an ideal thing to aim for, but I cannot live that way. And I say to you, well, you're absolutely right. You cannot live that way in and of yourself. Neither can I. But folks, that's where the gospel comes in. And there's a sense in which the Lord Jesus would say to your comment, well, you're absolutely right. I tell you the truth, said Jesus, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so we're back to this. We're back to this basic gospel truth that we need to be born of God. We need to have our eyes opened by God. We need to have our ears opened by God. We need to have our hearts touched by God. No amount of religion, no amount of human effort and human works will achieve this. And there's no point in trying to say to people, try your best, pull your socks up. What use is that? It's a philosophy of despair, because you're saying to people to do things which actually they can't do in the long run. We need God. We need a touch from God. There's a little hymn, and members of choir and members of praise group, you can note this. We haven't sang it for a little while, so you can see who's first to sing it. Only by grace can we enter. Only by grace can we stand. Not by our human endeavor, but by the blood of the Lamb. And that's the gospel. You see, the very thing that we cannot do is the very thing that God does. And again, I don't want to get diverted on this, but sometimes I've discovered that when you speak to people about being born again, they just think of the dramatic experience. And it may be dramatic for people. But my experience is that for many, many people, it's very undramatic. But it doesn't take away from the reality of being born of God. You can be born again of God in the privacy of your own home and in the privacy of your own bedroom as you kneel down before God and just throw yourself on Him. It doesn't always have to be the Damascus Road experience. For some it will be, but for many it will not be. So please don't be waiting for some bolt from the sky. It can be as quiet as a person getting down in the quietness of their own home and praying that little prayer. It may sound almost too simplistic to some, but I don't think so. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And where that prayer and that kind of prayer is uttered in sincerity and earnestness to God, God works. And you know, this is how we can have our hearts touched. I've sometimes quoted to you that little piece that somebody has written. I don't know who actually wrote it. Do this and live, the law demands, but gives me neither feet nor hands. A better word the gospel brings. It bids me fly, and it gives me wings. That's the gospel. And that is the power of the gospel. And so you say to me, I cannot live to this standard. And I say, you're absolutely right. You cannot, and I cannot. But whenever God comes into your life, whenever God comes into your heart, and you truly surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you would be amazed at what will begin to happen. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Tell me this morning, is God speaking to you? Is God speaking into your heart this morning and into your life? And God is saying to you right now, yes, what the preacher is saying, it's right, it's true. And you need to come to that place where you open up your life and surrender your life to Jesus Christ. And then this will begin to be real. Why do you put it off? Again, another Sunday. Why do you keep putting it off? Don't leave it too late. Blessed are the pure in heart. What is it? And how can it happen? And the third question that I ask is where? Well, what do I mean by that? Well, as we look out into the world, think of the world in which we live, the world of business and commerce and technology and scientific research and sport and all of these things. And in all of this, you will find people who will be driven by one aim. Driven by one thing. And that is to get to the top. Or to get that managerial post. Or to crack that technical or scientific problem. Or to get onto the team. If the world will behave in this way for personal gain, why then can Christians not act with a single-mindedness for the gain of eternity and for the spread of the gospel? Why is that? What's stopping us? Why at times are we so complacent? Well, it reminds us that we're in a battle. It reminds us that we have an adversary. It reminds us that there is a spiritual warfare going on. And the devil, to put it bluntly, folks, is perfectly happy for you and me to haphazardly and half-heartedly go through life. But dare one of us say, well, I'm going by the grace of God to be single-minded. I'm going to put Jesus at the very top. I'm going to put the Lordship of Christ over and above everything else. Well, let me just warn you, you're in for a wee bit of a rough ride. Why? Because the devil doesn't want you to do that. Because that's the very thing that begins to extend the kingdom. Pure in heart, where? Let me just paint you some examples. So these are just a number of different examples. So here's a young person at school. So all young people, please, if you've been sleeping, now's the time to waken up. This is for you. I'm sure you haven't been sleeping. Young person at school. Your friends are talking about stuff that they have seen on the web, on their phone, or whatever. Not very nice stuff. Unspeakable stuff, really. But young people are talking about it, and to say it's not good is a gross understatement. You know in your heart that it's wrong. But the peer pressure is strong. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Young person, you stand, as it were, at a crossroads. What will I do? Will I just go along with the flow? Will I follow the crowd? Will I join in what they're joining in? Even though in my heart of hearts I know this is so wrong. What are you going to do? Well, with the strength of God, you can decide to do the right thing. You can choose to walk away. You can choose the right path. Blessed are the pure in heart, because they will see God. So you're hearing another voice, not just the voice of your friends, come and do this, but you're hearing the voice of Jesus, who is King and Lord over all, saying, blessed are the pure in heart, because they will actually achieve and realize that reward on that day. Or maybe you're a parent struggling to bring up the children. Maybe your children are now, in one sense, no longer children. Maybe they're into their teens. And it's not always easy. It's sometimes hard to know what to decide to do in certain situations. But here's the guide that will help to keep you right. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart. Parent, be single-minded in living for God. Be single-minded in saying, and this is important, I believe, be single-minded in saying to your children, whether they are aged 4 or 14, that the most important decision that they will ever make in their lives is not who they will marry or what job they will do, but the question, what will you do with Jesus? That is the most important question that anyone can ever respond to. What will you do with the Lord Jesus? What will you do with the one who came into this world, who died and who rose again, who's coming back to judge the living and the dead? What will you do with him? And it is not too early, parent, to start teaching your children about that question. And the tragedy is that our community is full of parents who never once think about that question. And it would break your heart. And the tragedy is that there are people connected to churches who never once ever say to their child that kind of thing. And it is a dreadful thing. It is an awful thing. I cannot understand it whatsoever. And as I've said before, if you do not influence your children, somebody else will. And that somebody else will be a person who has no time whatsoever for Jesus Christ. And wouldn't it be a dreadful thing, man or woman, to come to a later stage in life and to see the children go off into the world and to know in your heart, you know, I never took the opportunity when I should have. That's a very, very sad thing to think about. So be single-minded. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God and their children. Another example in your business. You're under pressure. Deadlines, decisions, different opinions. Sometimes it's hard to know what to decide in certain situations, but here's the guide that will keep you right. Blessed are the pure in heart. Be single-minded in living for God. In all of your business transactions, be single-minded in your desire to glorify God and to honor Christ. And those who honor me, I will honor them. We sometimes pray for the world of business and commerce and economics and technology and science and medicine and health and education and law and politics and media and music and arts and sport and for the influence of Christians in all of these spheres. What does it mean to be a Christian in all of those spheres? What does it mean to be pure in heart? It means that whatever you do it to the best of your ability and you do it under the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be pure in heart. None of this is straightforward. It's a challenge. But please note as I finish what Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. The implication of this, folks, please note, is that the impure in heart will not see God. Well, how could they? He is holy. He is pure. He is majestic. He is awesomely beautiful. How could the impure in heart stand before such a God? But the pure in heart will see God. And the wonderful thing of the gospel is this, that whosoever here today hears this message and says, you know what, I want that. Well, then, by God's grace, if I can put it this way, you can have it by the grace of God. As you come as a sinner to Jesus and say, Lord, this is what I want. So do you hear that call this morning? Do you hear the call? Do you hear the kingdom call? Do you hear the Spirit of God drawing you to this? In this very confused world, in this world that seems to be going from bad to worse, here's the Christian call to come to Jesus. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest for your soul.
peace, a purpose, an assurance, and a hope that one day you and I will see God. Let us pray. Father, we pray that you would take your word, apply it to our hearts, lead us, O God, in these ways, in these days when people just are doing their own thing. Draw us, O God, back to these things and give us a heartfelt desire and knowledge that one day we will see God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.